don't know if y'all heard some of the lyrics. It says, even when I could not pray, God was still faithful. And the one that resonated with me the most, I tried to reach out to things that to please me. God was still faithful. I don't know if you've ever been there. When you begin to reach out to things to please yourself. And yet it's only the Lord that can please you. And God is faithful. Tell your neighbor, God is faithful. Amen. Well, let me just go ahead and kind of put myself out here real quick. You know, this is the Christmas season. And they've been playing, I think, Christmas music since Halloween night, I think. Me and Christmas has a funny kind of relationship. When you grow up poor, y'all living by myself. When you grew up in a household where things would appear one day, disappear the next day. Some of y'all catch that when you go home. And then you go to the local pawn shop and
there it is.
Stuff what you got for Christmas. It's in a case right there. Yeah. Me and Christmas has a funny relationship. And so when I hear Christmas songs, I immediately change the channel. Because it takes me to a place that was not all that pleasant for me.
Yeah.
And what amazes me is that what the trick enemy wants me to do, to turn the channel on a God who remains faithful, even when you're in some unshakable situations, that you want to just turn the channel on God. Said, no, I don't want to hear that today. You don't want to hear that joy to the world when you're not in joyful situations. Y'all left me by myself.
We hear you.
I don't want to hear none of that silent night, because it has been many silent nights.
Yes.
And there have been a lot of loud nights. I don't want to hear none of that. And so I would not want to hear any of those Christmas songs. As I've grown older, as I've grown into my relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to appreciate some
His goodness.
So you don't even get in my trouble. I'm not going to be listening to all the Christmas songs. So don't send me to hell for that. But one of the things that the Bible also does is that it also sings songs about the arrival of this Savior who's going to come to set things right.
Yeah.
It's to suggest that things have gone wrong in your life and that the arrival of Jesus comes to set things right. So now I begin to look forward to hearing Christmas songs because it reminds me that when things were going wrong in my life, Jesus came into my life to set in order where there was discord. I wish I had some help right there. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at all these songs in the Bible that talks about the arrival of this Savior who will come to set things right. I don't know if you've ever been in a place of discomfort and disorder. You want Jesus to come in.
Yes, you do. Yes,
because the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion.
Yes, He is.
And if there's confusion all around you, that means that Jesus must be absent.
Woo.
I wish I had some help right there.
Yes.
So all we're going to talk about is just the arrival of Jesus. And we're going to do this song. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. But I will say this, Dr. Trotter, that when we think about arrival songs, that's not a new concept. This is going all the way back to these days where they begin to sing songs about the arrival of this Savior. But there are contemporary versions of arrival songs. Some of us have heard them. We've heard Hail to the Chief. Some of y'all are like, what is that? That's the president's song. He arrives on the scene. He has a song. Think of it as his walk-up song. Y'all catch what I'm picking up with that? Okay. Brides typically have an arrival song. Here comes the bride. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I Or some go with Etta James, At Last.
At Last, yeah.
Wish I had some help right there.
Man.
Just to announce the arrival of a bride. Boxers have their own arrival music that's based upon their personality. My favorite sport of them all, wrestling. WWE. Some of y'all are like, what is that? They have their own entrance music to let you know that they are in the building. Matter of fact, I came up with my own arrival song. Like to hear
it?
Tune in next week. Same time. Same time. But I remember when I first met my wife, there was a arrival song that came to my mind when I saw her for the first time.
Oh my God.
And remember, this is kind of pre-Jesus. I cannot give you all the lyrics of the song. But this is by the late great Big Pun. And he said, I don't want to be a player no more.
Uh-oh.
That was the first song that came to my mind when I saw it. I said, I don't want to be a player
no more.
And then as we're dancing the night away, walking around, talking, and I looked at her, I said, where are you? Then the song Casey and JoJo came to mind.
Uh-oh.
All my life,
I
pray for someone like you.
Yeah.
I thank God.
Casey and JoJo.
That's all I'm saying. That's just the arrival songs that came to my mind when I met my bride. And so these characters that we're going to look at how they began to sing their own arrival song about this Savior who is going to set things in order. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Kind of walk through this as best we can, and then we'll raise up on out of here. This song is just really entitled in Magnificat, which is Latin for My Soul Shall Magnify the Lord. But it's also known as Mary's Song of Praise. Mary's Song of Praise. And this is how it reads. Luke chapter 1. Let's pick up at verse 46. Luke chapter 1. Pick up at verse 46. And it reads as such. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, more Magnificat. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty, oh gosh, has done great things for me. I wish somebody could testify on that one right there. I'm gonna try that one more time. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. I think we got three amens on there. I'm gonna try that one more time for the Holy Ghost. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Thank God that God has done some great things for me, that I didn't have to do for myself, that I couldn't do for myself, that God had to do for me. Now that's my testimony. I don't know what God's done for you. That's just my testimony, Joe. So let's pick up. She says, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him. And I love this, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. I love that. I'm going to say that one more time. He has filled the hungry with good things. Y'all ain't been hungry. Okay, all right, let's move on. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her, and this is Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to her home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for reminding us that your arrival changed everything. God, that when we were a wretched mess, unable to save and secure ourselves, God, the Bible says that when the time had come, you sent your Son into this world. And God, we thank you for sending your Son, not just into this world, but also to our personal worlds, to change us, to fulfill our every need and desire. God, we thank you for being more than enough. So Lord, as we look at your word, we ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts. God, give us ears to hear your voice. God, remove any distractions that may be in us, around us, or among us. God, we need you to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So the backdrop of this story is that this has been months from time that it had been announced that Jesus was going to arrive and his arrival. So let's think about that. It was months from the time they heard about Jesus coming until his ultimate arrival. And I don't know about anybody else, I'm just not a big fan of waiting for anything. If you're telling me that something's going to happen, I'm looking for it to happen right now. Okay, I'm the only one that hate waiting. I hate waiting in lines. It creates something within me that I really can't articulate. When I see a line, something jumps up in me to where I don't want to be patient and wait. I may be craving something really, 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 really a whole lot, okay? I may really want to get something, but if I see a line needed, I would just rather just not have it. And in this moment, they had heard from the Lord that God was going to send forth a son, and they had to wait a minimum of 9 months. With everything that's happening around them, they had to wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. And there's something that can be learned about every one of us when God puts us in a waiting and holding pattern. Many of us get anxious, begin to worry, or begin to doubt what God has said because we haven't seen it being fulfilled yet. And in this moment, Mary and Joseph and everyone else that's involved here, they're wondering, God, we have heard you, and now we have to wait on you. And I'm telling you, there is something powerful when you wait on the Lord. But when you wait on the Lord, God will do some things in your life that will totally wreck your world. I waited for this. God says, yes. And so what happens? She hears, Mary hears a word from the Lord by way of an angel that she was going to bring forth the Savior of the world, which messed her up. Because in her mind, she says, I ain't been with nobody like that. And you're telling me I'm going to have a child. And the angel says to her, with God, there's nothing impossible. And by the way, and I love how the angel tells the story, by the way, since I'm telling you this word, your cousin is pregnant too. Now, you have to understand that Elizabeth at this time is old. She had been barren all these years. And for the angel to tell Mary that your cousin is pregnant, and not just pregnant, but she is 6 months pregnant, this had to mess up Mary's mind because she knows her cousin. She knows that she can't have any children. And this angel says, but there is somebody that knows the power of God. I was going to ask that right there. There is somebody else in your neighborhood, in your community, that has had an encounter with the Lord. And watch what Mary does. I love what Mary does. The angel doesn't say, go to Elizabeth. She says, okay, all right, let me process this. Okay, this angel just told me that I'm going to have this miraculous immaculate conception that God is going to perform in my life, and somebody else has had this kind of encounter with the Lord, I need them to give me a word. Okay, let's try it this way. It's good to know when the Lord has done something else in somebody else's life, that they've had an encounter with the Lord themselves. Because we will find ourselves, when God speaks to us, that we need to be affirmed every now and then that God has told us something, and God will put somebody in our life, watch this, to affirm that God specializes in miracles. Because there will be times that God will show you something, that God will tell you something that's beyond your comprehension. But God has did something else in somebody else's life that can confirm that just like God did it in my life, God can do it in your life. And so Mary says, I need to get to Elizabeth. And watch what happens. She gets to Elizabeth. Because remember, she had previously encountered the Lord. Mary gets to her. She needs to hear a word. She needs to be in the presence of somebody that has encountered the Lord for themselves. Okay. Let me try this like this. It's amazing when you get around other people that have encountered the Lord. I got two amens on that. I'm going to try that one more time. It's amazing when two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, that have encountered the Lord, that the Lord just seems to just manifest himself in ways that we hadn't experienced before. And she says, I need to get with somebody else that's experienced the Lord like I have. She gets there. Watch this. What I love about Elizabeth is that she was available.
What?
And she was accessible. Okay, don't miss this. Now she had been blessed by the Lord. And she's preoccupied with her own life. Okay. Now she just got the news herself that she's pregnant. And she's just not pregnant, she's old and pregnant.
Ain't that the truth?
Okay. That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Hello, lights and all
that.
It's already difficult to be pregnant. But old and pregnant is a different kind of pregnant. But not only that, Diane, her husband can't talk. Now, I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse. I don't know one way or the other on that one. But she already has her own set of problems. I'm old, I'm pregnant, and my husband can't say nothing to me or give me a confident word, and yet she's not preoccupied with her own situation. She receives Mary and gives Mary a word. I wish that in this house that we would have people who would be available and accessible and not preoccupied by their own voice alone, so that they might be able to speak a word to somebody else. So Elizabeth is not preoccupied. This is what she says to her. Mary, you are blessed. Now for Mary, she has to reconcile what she just heard with her reality. Mary is from Nazareth. And for some of y'all who think that's like Inglewood. Like when you hear their name, you think negative thoughts about that place. You think there's an unsafe place, that is a poor place. Okay? She said she's straight out of Nazareth, so it's likely that she's poor. She's unmarried, even though she's betrothed, she's about to be married. But she's pregnant, not by the dude she's about to marry. Okay, and let me explain to you, in that culture, if you are betrothed, that's like you like married. And to be found out that you are pregnant before you actually have the ceremony would suggest that you've been knocking boots with somebody else. Some of y'all say, what's knocking boots? Why are we knocking boots right now? That means that you would know somebody in a biblical sense. And that means that you have committed adultery with the person that you're about to marry. And if Joseph wanted to, he could have not just divorced her, But he could have brought it before the whole people and made it public and said, if this woman that I'm about to marry is pregnant and I am not the father. And the Bible demands, or the law demands, that we stone her to death. So her situation is not great. Straight out of Nazareth, she's probably poor, she's not married, she's pregnant, and she stands in the way of death. And Elizabeth says to her, watch this, Mary, you blessed. I don't know about y'all, but there's been some times in my life that I looked around me and it did not look blessed, but the Lord still said that in spite of what you're dealing with right now, you are still blessed because of me, not because of your circumstances. Because remember, Mary had already gotten word that she was blessed, that she was favored by God. So what Elizabeth does is confirms that truth.
All right.
Watch this, because here's a temptation. Mary's walking to her cousin's house. She's thinking about her situation. I heard what the Lord saying, but now my situation is speaking louder. Yep. I remember, God, you told me that I'm favored. Yeah, but I might get executed if they find out that I'm pregnant by somebody else. And then I have to explain to them, watch this, that is by the Holy Ghost. Okay, y'all look about myself. I'm not only pregnant by somebody else, but I got to tell them about this, it's by the Holy Ghost. So I got to explain that to people. God said I was favored, but I'm facing death. God said I'm favored, but now I'm facing death. She gets to Elizabeth's house and is reminded, girl, you blessed. And guess what happens? She's reminded. She's blessed. It ought to be something said that when people come into the house of God, that when they're discouraged, when they're not feeling at their very best, they feel dejected and rejected, that they can come to the house of God and be reminded that, baby, you blessed. Even though you may be facing some messed up situation, you may feel messed up, but watch this. You are blessed. Matter of fact, tell your neighbor right now, you blessed. Okay, you didn't do it right. Tell them, you blessed. Some of y'all still ain't doing it right. You blessed. Remind yourself, I'm blessed. Why? Because the Lord said. The Lord said I'm blessed. So she hears this. Sister Yvonne, she hears this, that she's blessed. But watch what happens. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. So in a sense, all Mary did was break out in a praise song. Because she was reminded that the Lord has said she was favored. Now she's been reminded, I am blessed, and therefore because I am blessed, I'm going to magnify the Lord. In the Greek, it's amazing how they use this term, the final term, magnify. The word itself is megalusio. I mean, that just sounds big, don't it? Megalusio, megalusio. I felt something when I said that. It is to say, to make great, to declare great, that in spite of what she was facing, in spite of what she was seeing, in spite of what she was sensing, she says, I am going to magnify, or I'm going to make great the Lord because God has made himself known to me. Okay, y'all look. Okay. The idea is that even though my circumstances hadn't changed, as long as God made himself known to me, then guess what? I'm going to make the world know about God. I need to put you on notice that God is great. So her song is not what we typically hear on the radio station. It's not what you'll hear on the radio station. But this is a song of praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because there was just something about Mary. Here's a couple things you need to know about Mary. First of all, Mary knew the true identity of the son she would bear personally. Okay? She knew his identity before everybody else. So here's the one thing you gotta know about knowing Jesus. It doesn't always happen in a collective group of people. When you know Jesus, you know him for yourself. You don't need anybody else to tell you or, you know, really to remind you of who Jesus is. You're gonna know him for yourself. So if you're by yourself, You tell yourself who Jesus is. I wish I had some help right there. But you can't tell yourself who Jesus is if you don't know him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So she knows him personally. And this is what the angel says to her. When you go back earlier in verses 31 and 30 through 33. This is what he says. To Mary, he will be called Jesus or Yeshua, Joshua. Meaning Jehovah is salvation. He is the Son of the Most High. And this is an Old Testament reference. Okay? Because often when you read the Old Testament in the original language, you don't see Yahweh. You often see the Most High or the Lord God or something like that. So they say he's going to be the Son of the Most High. Watch this. You can't miss this. He's going to be, watch this, the rightful ruler of a kingdom without end. What he is, what the angel is suggesting is that this Jesus who's going to come is eternal. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. And watch this. And the kingdom that he presides over will never end. Write down Psalm 145:13. Because this is a liken to what the psalmist says about the God of the universe, that he has a kingdom that will not end. So this Son of God is God. I got two amens on that. Put a pin on that. So we're going to talk about his deity later on. Okay? So she understood, watch this, his identity. She understood the purpose of her pregnancy. You can't miss this. She understood that her pregnancy had a purpose. That even though her circumstance surrounding her pregnancy was not great, it still served a purpose. There may be times in our life that we may find ourselves in some predicament that we don't want to be in, and yet God says your predicament has a purpose. So don't fret when you find yourself in these predicaments. Just know that God will use your predicament for his glory. Okay, y'all forget it. She's pregnant, she's unmarried, she's poor, and yet God uses every one of those moments to bring him some glory. Well, watch this. Not only does she know his identity, Mary has learned to trust God beyond the known. Okay, remember, she doesn't come from a great place. She don't have a whole lot of means. But when you write down in verse 37, watch what she says. The angel says to her, for nothing will be impossible with God. That's what the angel says to her. Look what Mary says. I love this. I am the Lord's slave. May it be done to me according to your word. Can't miss this. So she doesn't know the outcome of her life. She don't know the outcome of what's going to transpire when this baby gets here. The only thing she knows is that she wants to avail herself to the Lord. That's when you're walking by faith. I don't have to know all the details for what God is calling me to do. I'm just going to avail myself to be used by God however God wants to use me, even if it does not make sense to me. Watch this. And even if I can't explain to somebody else what God's called me to do. Because guess what? God calling me ain't got nothing to do with you. I wish I had some help right there. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. She didn't go around and say, yeah, the Lord called me to bear this baby. Can you verify that? Can you validate me that I'm called to be this vessel of God? No, she says, I am your slave. And I just dare one of y'all just to say, God, I am your, God, use me however you want to use me. And doesn't have to make sense. I don't have to worry about explaining it to anybody. God, you call me. And guess what? God can keep you in the calling. Because the beauty about God is that he doesn't look for you to have all the experience and all the education. All he needs is your availability. Will you be available for God to use you? So she didn't shut the door. Now remember, this is a crazy thing that's happening to her. She's about to bring forth God in the flesh, And she's got to tell people about it. Well, I tell you, sometimes God calls you to do something, and it's beyond your comprehension. I know some of y'all are thinking, like, when God calls me to do something, I'm going to tell him he dialed the wrong number. Because it does go beyond our understanding. Because can you imagine this teenage girl thinking, how is this even going to be possible? Thank you, Holy Ghost. And you may be thinking that whatever God called you to do, how is this even possible? Moses dealt with that. I need you to go to my people. But he says, I stutter. God says, who made your mouth?
Come on now.
I'm so glad that God made my mouth. I'm so glad that God made my mind.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that God made my heart.
Hallelujah.
That God made everything about me. So I don't have to be all tripped over and tripped up about what I don't do or can't do. God can get it done anyway.
Yeah.
In spite of my shortcomings.
Come on now.
In spite of my failures. In spite of my inabilities. God can use anybody. So she does shut the door. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. She does shut the door on the angel after she hears how God's going to use her. Because I guarantee you, there's somebody in here today. They didn't shut the door on Jesus. Because what God's called you to do, it don't make sense. God, I don't know how this is going to happen. You must have meant to call Cynthia. She looked like she could do it. That's what we start doing. We start comparing ourselves to other people. They speak well.
Yeah.
They shout well.
Yeah.
They read the Bible well. They look like they can do it. And then we start disqualifying ourselves because of somebody else's gifts and abilities. No, God made you the way he made you so that he could get the glory out of you.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be around you.
Yeah.
Praise God for that.
Yeah.
Hey, boy, I felt that. So it don't have to be the best qualified, it don't have to be the most anointed or look anointed. It just matters as long as you surrender your life to the Lord. God will use you more than you can imagine. So this is what Mary learned. She learned a few things. That in hard times that God was faithful. Anybody ever been there? That in hard times you learn real quick that God is faithful. And so because she knows that God is faithful, she sings this song. And here's the first stanza of the song. She begins to talk about this undeserved grace. Oh, I love it. When you look at verses 46 through 50, you can go back and read this. When you read verses 46 through 50, she calls him God, my Savior. I love that. She says, God, my Savior. Mary sees herself and she realizes that the only people that need a Savior is a person that's messed up. Okay, y'all left me by myself. She saw herself not as perfect or deserving. Oh, God, thank you. She saw herself in need of saving. She saw herself as less than because she was a sinner herself. And many of us have seen, that's why I said many of us, have seen ourselves as sinners in need of saving. Because we don't have the capacity to save ourselves, and therefore we have to look up to the Savior to save us. Okay, y'all not picking up. I'm gonna try this a different way. Let me borrow Brother Oliver for a second. Come on down, sir. You are the next contestant on Price is Right. Come on up, sir. The idea of salvation is that the Lord, in our own way, we think that we can save ourselves. We think that we have the capacity to get ourselves out of situations. I remember reading a story about this person who went out to swim. So you swim. All right, things got a little rocky. You got to look like it's getting rocky. You're going a little harder because that's your natural inclination. You want to work harder to try to save yourself. And he sees the storm coming, but it's getting really crazy. It's getting really out of hand. And he's now struggling to swim. He's getting tired now. Oh my gosh. And his lifeguard sees the struggle. But he also cannot save himself. He has two choices. He can either go out there right now while he's trying to save himself, or he can just wait. He tired after
he's
and now he's struggling to stay afloat. Stay afloat. Just okay, there you go. Watch this. So now he sees that he's giving up now. He sees he's giving the lifeguard sees the swimmer giving up. Okay, there you go. And then the lifeguard goes out. And he grabs him. No, you're tired, you can't reach for him. Tilts his head back and he takes him on in. Because as long as he's fighting to try to save himself, if the lifeguard goes out there too soon, then the lifeguard gets pulled down with him. But he has to wait till this person gets tired of trying to save himself. Then the savior steps in and says, I got you now. Okay? And I just believe that there are some people in here today that still trying to save themselves. And God said, I need you to stop doing that and give up, and I will save you.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, give up.
Yes.
You can't save yourself.
Yes. Save yourself.
You cannot save yourself.
Hallelujah.
So she sees herself in this humble condition.
Yes.
She sees that she can't save herself. But she sees herself as little in her own eyesight. Because remember, she's from Nazareth. And everyone around them knows that Nazareth ain't nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because they talk about how lowly of a state it is. And yet, I'm sure if Mary was to tell us right now how she felt about that, she would probably tell us that she felt a little unworthy. That the Lord would first of all find her where she is. Oh God, thank you. That he would be willing to go to where nobody else want to go. Oh God, thank you. And give her a word that I'm going to use you. Yes, you. Oh gosh, thank you. See, that's exactly what the Lord does for us. That he goes where nobody else want to go and does what nobody else can do and lets us know that we are cared for and that we are loved and that God is going to use us in spite of our conditions. Thank God that he shows up in places that don't look like this. Because if the truth be told, that Jesus did not find us in here. Oh, they're crying now. He didn't find us lifting up holy hands and saving us in here. He found us in some places that... Okay. Y'all got saved now. I'm so glad that he didn't wait till Steve showed up at the house, this house, to save me. He found me. Angus, I was running, but the Lord found me. I don't care how hard you try to run. You can't outrun Jesus. Praise God for that. So, she sees this, she's trying to figure out, how then can God use somebody like me? And I hear what you're saying. You've asked that same question. How can God use somebody like me? He is a simple word, or two words really, three words. God's grace is greater. Four, God's grace is greater than whatever you have done, will do, or ever do. His grace is greater than anything. So regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you think you've done, and you think that that's greater than what the Lord can do, God's grace is greater. Tell your name, his grace is greater. But then watch this, and then we'll get her raise up one out of here. So she talks about this idea of undeserved grace, but then she also talks about his rescuing power. When you look at verses 51 through 55 in this second stanza, she talks about his rescuing power. In this second stanza, this is really a prophetic message, because she's saying that not only is his salvation for right now, but his salvation reaches for generation to generation to generation. Okay, you understand. Okay. Let's try it one more time. His salvation doesn't just save right now. His salvation saves for the generations coming after you. His grace, His power never fails. So even when we see generations come behind us that look lost, the Bible says that His salvation is for generation to generation. So what we have to do is have faith that although we may not see salvation of our family right now, that His salvation still works.
Yeah.
I may not see it, but I'm believing that His salvation will continue to save souls. So she's saying, okay, then it's not just going to save me. It's not just going to save my immediate family. It's going to save my grandkids. It's going to save my great-grandkids. It's going to save the kids that I didn't even know. God has a power to save from generation to generation. So she says, here's how this rescue power reaches. It reaches a few people. It reaches the helpless. Everybody say the helpless.
The
helpless. When you read verse 51, it tells us that he has done a mighty deed with his arm. And that's an anthropomorphism to simply say that although God is a spirit, I have to apply human characteristics to understand God. Because understand something, our minds can't fully comprehend the bigness of God. So we have to use words that we can understand to try to understand God.
Yeah.
Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
So although he's saying the hand or his arm is strong, he's not literally saying that God has an arm. He's just saying that his arm represents strength. And it represents power. And who does it help? The helpless. If you ever declare, I don't need your help, Lord, guess what? Lord won't help you.
I never said that.
But notice, in the, I love how it says in the Greek rhythm. So she says, it's not just for generation to generation. In the Greek, when she says that it has the power to save, she's saying this retroactively. So it works forward and backwards. Oh gosh, okay, y'all understand. That his power to save doesn't just save right now, but it's save backwards, forward. So before we were born in our mother's womb, salvation was already at work before we got here. Oh gosh, thank you. And all it took was us to have an encounter with the Lord ourselves to bring to reality what the Lord has already done. Because the Bible says that God already knew us before He formed us in our mother's womb. So He says salvation works retro, it works backwards, forward. So what are you saying, preacher? It ain't gonna miss nobody. It ain't gonna miss nobody. Y'all got that? So if you think salvation gonna miss you, it works backwards, forwards. It ain't gonna miss you. Tell you that it ain't gonna miss you. But then watch this. She says it's also not just for the helpless, but it's also for the humble. Verse 52. I love this. She says that God can bring low high people. Okay, y'all. Okay, so he doesn't just reach the people who can't help themselves. She says, suggesting. Wait a minute, he can reach those who help themselves a whole lot. And if they think that they help themselves so much that they don't need God, God can bring them down. Okay, y'all ain't picking that up. Okay. So yes, I may declare I don't need your help up here, or I may really need your help. It doesn't matter if you don't say you need His help, or you do need His help. Guess what? God can save anybody. Okay. Write down Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. This was the great King Nebuchadnezzar, who didn't need no help from nobody. I got this. Until he said this. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and glorify the King of heaven. Y'all ain't catching it. This is a person who would not bow to him. He wants people to bow to him. But he's now saying, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and glorify the King of heaven because all his works are true and his ways are just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride. He is not saying this because he's witnessed this from somebody else. He's saying this because he's experienced it for himself. He was saying, I was prideful, I was full of myself, and yet God brought me down to a low place. I thought I had life figured out, but God brought me down. So if you're helpless or you don't need any help, God can reach anybody. And even if you don't want to be humble, if you don't want to humble yourself, God will do it for you. I wish I had some help right there. If you don't want to humble yourself, God will find a way to bring you down. He knows how to put you in some situations. That when you think you're high, he'll bring you down. Keep living. You may be high right now. Okay, let me move on. There ain't no wait on the Lord. He can bring you up. He can bring you down. Verse 53 tells us that he also filled the hungry. I love this. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty. What God is looking for are people who are desperately hungry for him.
Desperately.
He can reach. He can reach anybody. The helpless, those that don't want to be humble, and those who are hungry. And the Bible says that when you are hungry, watch this, God will fill you and satisfy you. But watch this, you gotta come not filled already. That means you gotta be willing to empty yourself of some stuff before you come before God, and God will fill you. The problem is that for many people is that they want to hold on to too much stuff and then go to God and say, God, fill me, but I want this too. God, fill my life with your presence, but I gotta hold on to this relationship that's killing me. God, I want you to satisfy my hunger pains, but I don't want to control my eating habits. Oh, I'm getting quiet over here. God, I want you to satisfy my thirst, but I can't put down Jack. Or Coke. Or Pepsi. Let's get quiet over here. God, I want you and all this other stuff. And God said, I can't feel you if you're still holding on to all this other stuff. Tell your neighbor, you gotta let go of some stuff. God wants to feel you. But he's not gonna feel you when you're already full of stuff.
Jesus.
Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's why Jesus says, it's blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God is in the business of filling his people. And then when you get down to verses 54 and 55, I love this. She tells us that God is not about forgetting his promises or his people. If you ever get to a place where you start doubting that God is not going to fulfill it, God doesn't forget anything. Whatever God has promised, you, God will bring it to pass. God is not in the habit or in the business of forgetting his promises or his people. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm so glad. I'm starting to see things that God has promised me become a reality. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So we got to trust that God will deliver. Amen? It's not like UPS and FedEx that might miss you. God makes it every time, all time. And you may be here today. You say, Pastor, I want to sing a song. But I'm looking at my reality. Mary seems to be an undeserving person. And yet, God says, I will use you. You may be feeling undeserving for God to use you. God told me to tell you today, yes, God can use you. Even if you feel unlikely, God can and will use you. So don't make yourself feel less than. Don't let the world make you feel less than. God will use you. God will use you. Would you bow with me for a moment? You may be here and you still wrestle with this truth. For Mary, she saw herself as unworthy. Which, in a sense, can be a great starting place. That you feel unworthy, which makes you worthy. When you already feel pride, that you got this, that you have control of your own destiny, God can use that. God will use you when you recognize that I'm not worthy to be used by you. God's grace, don't forget, God's grace is greater than anything you have done. Any failure, you may have missed a mark. You may have messed up badly. You may feel messed over by life, that life has thrown you way too many curveballs. Or you may feel misunderstood, that nobody understands how God's made you. Whatever it is, God is saying, I can use anybody. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor, today I've been on the fence. I wanted to say I'm ready, but then I back off. Ready, then I back off. Ready, then I back off. God wants to know, are you ready today to trust Him? Are you ready today to avail yourself to God, that God will use you? Don't look at your resume of success and failures. That doesn't matter. God wants you, all of you. Yes, you're messed up, toe up on the floor of self. The accident waiting to happen, self. The self-sabotaging self. God wants to use you. Mary says, I'm your slave. You say that today to the Lord. God, I'm yours. God, would you use me? God, would you use me? Make clear to me your plans. Once God make it clear, know this, there's now an expectation for you to perform what God has shown you. Resist the temptation to think that you have to prove anything to anybody. Our society is filled with scripts that they want to label us with. The church is filled with scripts and labels to limit any and every one of us. But whose report are you going to believe today? I want to challenge you to believe the report of the Lord about your life. God has a plan for you. Just as much as his plan interrupted Mary's plans, guess what? God's plans will interrupt your plans. But I guarantee you that God will be glorified in that interruption. I promise you that. So be okay with being uncomfortable for what God has in store for you. It may not look like anybody else's. So what? It's about what God wants to accomplish through your life. Father, we thank you for reminding us of people like Mary, who seem to be the least of society, who who seem the least likely to be used by you, to give us a prototype, a picture of those whom you will use, that we may not fit the mold. But actually, God, I'm thankful that you broke the mold when you made each of us.
Yes.
God, your Bible says that we are fearfully
and
wonderfully made by you. That the details surrounding our life has been crafted by you so that you will accomplish your plans through each of us. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister who's here today, who's still doubting, who's still questioning. But yet, God, that doesn't discourage you from using any of us. Just because we have doubts, just because we have these questions in our minds, doesn't negate the fact that you still can use us. Father, I pray that as we wrestle with the call on our life, that we will surrender to you today. For some, it may be a call to salvation. You're saying, hey, you need to trust me for as your Lord and Savior for the first time. Maybe the call is to rededicate your life back to the Lord because you've tried doing things in your own power, in your own strength. Maybe it's a specific call to ministry that God's called you to work with young people or old people, couples, men or women. Where has God called you that you've been reluctant? Or maybe you don't even know how to articulate it, but you just know it's something happening. But today you say, I'm ready to surrender. Father, we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God, you promise each of us life and that in abundance. So Father, I pray for that those hands that were raised, God, that they would experience this abundance of life that you promised. I rebuke the enemy's attempts to make them feel that they're less than. I rebuke the thoughts that they feel like that he is robbing and stealing things from them. God, I pray that they would experience the fullness of life in you, Lord. I pray that they don't look for things to be perfect. I pray that they don't look for things to be comfortable. I just pray that they would be compliant with your call. And through their life that they were reaching many people because they lived a surrendered life. Thank you right now, Father. I thank you, God, for them raising their hands and surrendering to you today. God, we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a big hand.